Well, what do you think of my cattle? That opens up all sorts of conversations or Pandora's box. Crew, let's ranch it up. Good day, everyone, and thanks for riding with us on this all-new episode of the Ranch It Up Radio Show. I'm Jeff Tigger Earhart. A big thank you goes out to our partners, RanchChannel.com, the world-famous Mile City Buck and Horse Sale, Stockman's Livestock Exchange, the American Gelvy Association, Imogene Ingredients and Pharmatan, Westway Feed Products, Medora Boot and Western Wear, Allied Genetic Resources and Allied Feeding Partners, Livestock Market, Equine Market, and AuctionTime.com, RFD-TV, Wrangler, and this fine radio station. Cow Country News, you know, the cow stuff. Really shaking up the news late last week, Colombia issued restrictions on U.S. beef imports due to concerns over dairy cows testing positive for avian influenza. The move marks the first instance for a country limiting beef trade due to bird flu in cows. The USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service updated its website confirming the ban on beef products originating from cattle slaughtered in the states including Idaho, Kansas, Michigan, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, South Dakota, and Texas. All states reporting cows testing positive for avian influenza. Now, let's talk something a little better, shall we?
Hey, all, Mark Banzi with LivestockMarket.com. Coming up this Wednesday, May 8th, we have our small livestock and hay online auction. Bidding opens at just $10 a head, no reserves, all lots will sell. Over 170 head of sheep, goats, pigs, and hay. Featured lots include 150 purebred Iberian butcher-ready hogs selling on 6 25-head lots from Phil Farms in Austin, Texas, 15 boar and Kiko does, one buckling by the side, all the goats are registrable from Poor Farms in Perry, Florida, and 6 boar and Kiko does. 3 are 100% boar, 3 are boar Kiko crosses. They're great breeding bucks, and they'll produce twins and triplets every year. They're also registrable from Poor Farms in Perry, Florida. 114 large square alfalfa bales selling on 2 57 bale lots. It's 3x3x8 polytwine, all straight alfalfa, 850 pounds a bale. It's all fine stem and grown at 7,000 foot of elevation from 77 cattle in Farson, Wyoming. And 38 large round Bermuda grass bales, 4x5 net wrapped, good quality horse hay that's been stored under the barn from Farwell Farms in Bradford, Arkansas. Bidding is currently live, but all lots will sell the morning of Wednesday, May 8th at 10 a.m. Central Time. Got sheep, goat, or pigs to sell? Regular small livestock auctions, second Wednesday of every month, with hay sales every Wednesday on LivestockMarket.com and AuctionTime.com.
Now, coming up, when you ask others, what do y'all think of our cattle? Oh boy, howdy, that opens up the door on this one. We're going to have a good time on this next interview. We've got more coming up on the Ranch It Up Radio Show right after this.
Hey, it's Mark Banzi with LivestockMarket.com.
Every week we hear from one of our great partners with updates, info, schedules, reports, and everything in between when it comes to buying and selling livestock and hay online and private treaty. LivestockMarket.com.
Cattle market reports to various news stories. The Tri-State Livestock News covers it all. Check us out at TSLN.com. Subscriptions or advertising, call Tracy Hawk at 406-951-3211. The Tri-State Livestock News, what ranchers read.
The quick, fast, easy, all-in-one location to look at bull sales. Head to RanchChannel.com. Check it out on your phone. RanchChannel.com. All the information on one page at your fingertips. Videos, catalogs, everything. RanchChannel.com. Get ready for the Western experience of a lifetime. The world-famous Mile City Bucking Horse Sale is back, and better than ever. Join us May 16th through the 19th in Mile City, Montana. From the finest bucking stock to electrifying horse racing, this event has it all. Don't miss out on the kickoff concert featuring Josh Turner and special guest Chancey Williams. Mark your calendars and saddle up for the world-famous Mile City Bucking Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive. Get your tickets at buckinghorsesale.com. Nutrition does not need to be difficult or overwhelming or complicated at all. Keep things simple with Westway Feed Products. Cow-calf, dairy, feedlots, equine, and custom if you need. You can count on Westway. WestwayFeed.com.
Cattle Battle.
Welcome back to the Ranch It Up Radio Show, the most information packed into a 30-minute program that you can find. It's your all things ranching newscast, and so glad to be with you. Questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, it doesn't matter. Give us a call at 707-RANCH20. That's 707-726-2420. You can text us at that number as well, 707-RANCH20. The email, ranchitupshow@gmail.com, and prowling around social media, Ranch It Up Show. Now, all of us have our opinion of what good cattle should be, right? I mean, we have our breeds and preferences. We have goals that we are looking to achieve. Some of us are in the business of trying to maximize pounds per acre, for example. Others are in the business of raising bred heifers. Some are producing bulls. The bottom line is we all like what we like for various reasons. But what do others see when they look at our cattle? And have we actually seen cattle in other parts of the industry, in other parts of the region, in other states, other parts of the country, other countries for that matter? This is where the opinions really start to come to light. I recently had the chance to sit down with international cattle specialist P.J. Butler while on a short trip to New Orleans. Now, P.J. is the international business manager for Transova Genetics. He's a consultant, a speaker, and an international cattle judge. He currently calls Fort Worth, Texas home, but is originally from South Africa. He has evaluated cattle of all shapes, kinds, colors, and breeds. And I wanted to pin P.J. down to have him give me a 30,000-foot view of our cattle industry that is about 10 miles wide and 1 inch deep. We connected here a few years ago through Transova, and we really were diving in the weeds because we were talking about genetics, and I really just passed the mic, and I said, I want you to give me that 30,000-foot view, 10-foot wide and 30 inches deep view of what we're doing in the States, of what your opinion was. And I appreciated your candor in calling a spade a spade. So now let's fast forward here a little bit. And PJ has had the honor and at the same time the difficulty of analyzing cattle all over the world. You're judging these cattle shows all over the world. Does that get tough? And that's where I want to pin this down is, does that get tough going from country to country to country to be able to evaluate? And are you trying to evaluate based on their standards, or is this an evaluation based on what PJ likes?
So it is what I like, but I think I can substantiate it scientifically. So my thesis is that in order for cattle to be profitable and for producers to be prosperous and for their communities to flourish, those cattle, first and foremost, have to be adapted to the environment. So we're in New Orleans now, so we need heat-tolerant, insect-resistant, tropically adapted.
Sure, sure.
Okay. When you're in North Dakota, it's the opposite. You need cattle that can really sustain hard, cold weather, cattle that are adapted to the short days in winter and can shed off enough for the long days in summer.
Right.
That's, secondly, they need to be functionally efficient, they need to be fertile, and they need to live a long time. So it seems obvious, right? What I find a lot of people are doing, and the U.S. is amazing. We've got the very best cattle in the world and the worst ones in the world.
Aha!
We've got the best food in the world and the worst food.
Aha!
The best culture in the world and the worst culture in the world.
Okay. I love it.
So what we've done here is we focus on what I call turnover traits. So that's muscle, milk, marbling, growth. And often we forget those aforementioned traits, which are really your profit-driving survival traits. And what we do with that, to put this in a nutshell, is we subsidize feedlots and packers as cow-calf guys because we breed what they want us to breed, but it costs us money to make them money. Okay, so when I'm evaluating cattle around the world, I use that same mantra. As long as they're adapted to the environment, they live a long time, they're fertile, and they're functionally efficient, then they're gonna work for me in that criteria. One more thing on this subject. And this is a soapbox that I've been on for a while, and it's got me some blood noses and black eyes. But I'm
because I was going to ask you that.
Yes, you do. I mean, people are passionate in this industry, fiercely independent, a lot of self-proclaimed scientists and philosophers. So what's happened is if you go into a lot of herds in the U.S. today, you see a concept called sexual monomorphism. So what that means is you go into a herd, and the bull and the females look very similar. The bulls are slightly feminine, and their daughters, and the females are slightly masculine. And the reason for that is that when you select for growth and muscle, you selecting for growth hormones and not sex hormones, okay? So in mammals, mammalian species, we want something called sexual dimorphism. The males and females must not look anything alike. Like when you and I sit together on the bus, our shoulders touch. When our spouses or partners sit together, their hips touch. We're not the same, boys and girls, okay? And that specific thing is what costs us fertility, and it costs us maternal ability. It certainly costs us longevity and functional efficiency, and eventually adaptability. So what we've got to go back to is focusing on those profit traits and avoiding what I call the turnover traits, which we just subsidize packers and feedlots with.
So let's talk about large effect genes. Let's really start diving in the weeds with what you're familiar with. Let's talk about large effect genes and how we are using genomic information and DNA, science and statistics to be able to breed cattle. So there is, and I've been really pushing that, this is wonderful that we have those tools, but we need to still being able to visually appraise those cattle. So you're talking from purely a phenotypic standpoint. So let's talk about those large effect genes, and let's talk about that science, and how does that come into play when you are selecting, because you're talking about profit driving traits, which obviously is the same way as these large effect genes. So how does that data relate into when you're trying to appraise visually?
So two things. The first thing is that visual appraisal is scientific.
Notice I'm putting PJ on the spot here. I'm challenging.
I like shooting from the hip. I'm very accurate. So two things. The first thing is visual appraisal is scientific method. If you're carving out enough cows every year and you notice that the ones with a slight angle from hip to pin are carving easier and the ones with a high pin setting and high tail setting are sometimes struggle, that's not just observation, that's scientific method. And then you come to a conclusion in your mind and you drive it. So the one thing I won't stand for is being told that visual appraisal of cattle is not scientific, because it is purely scientific. Now, getting onto genomics and genomically enhanced EPDs, the quickest way I organize my thoughts with that is that the engineers have built a Rolls-Royce. Okay, this machine works incredibly well if one assumes that the phenotype data being collected is collected by everyone all the time, honestly, accurately, and in large numbers, okay? Because then it's, you've got the right fuel in your wagon. The issue we're finding is the keys to the Rolls-Royce, unfortunately, have been handed to people who don't have a license to drive that Rolls-Royce, the marketers, and B, people who are intoxicated, some breeders trying to sell, make a quick buck off cattle. Now, you don't want an intoxicated driver in a Rolls-Royce. Just never, it's not going to end very well. So my thesis on this is that with genomics and genomically enhanced EPDs, if we assume that it's accurate, which is a different debate, let's grant them that it's accurate, the way in which those numbers are being used are detrimental to cow-calf producers. Because let's take yearling weight, for example. The average Angus or Hereford, or for that means Charolais, Simmental cow in the US is big enough. I think you'll have 90% consensus on that. Maybe too big, okay? So if those numbers are being used correctly, what is the ideal yearling weight? Breed average or below that, right? Because if you're wanting to go, if they're big enough, why is everyone marketing the ones that are 90 pounds over breed average and
good point.
Trait leaders? The other thing is, we're subsidizing the packers, because if you're selecting for yearling weight and you're selecting for ribeye area, who's going to make the money out of that? In the end, it's them. If you're selecting for traits that can be genomically determined through genomically enhanced EPDs, if you're selecting for scrotal circumference at a year old, and you're selecting for positive fat, you're going to create a herd of cattle that are maternal, early maturing, and efficient. Now, here's the black eye. We all taught in animal science throughout the colleges around the world that fertility has low heritability. Okay? That's impossible. And it's nonsense because it's a survival trait. Okay? So in order for animals to keep propagating themselves and moving forward as a species, fertility has to be highly heritable. So we're not measuring it right. And if you're interested in mathematics, there's a sum that works incredibly well to ensure that fertility is established and inherent in our cattle. So hormonal balance, which is highly heritable, plus high inherent body condition, easy fleshing, which is also highly heritable, equals fertility. Voila.
Just that easy, right, PJ? Hey, thanks for taking a few minutes to connect with me for our crew. Now, it was requested, or I should say suggested, by a few listeners that we have a roundtable discussion / debate about genetics and how they relate to profitability, and more specifically, who they are profitable for. PJ was alluding to this at the beginning of our interview. I am working on this as we speak. PJ, I would like you to sit in on this discussion to give an international perspective. Now, those others that you would like to see on this discussion and why, who should sit on this roundtable? This is where I need you to reach out to us here at the Ranch It Up Radio Show and let us know who you want to hear from and why. Who should sit in on this roundtable discussion? Let us know your thoughts. Message us on Facebook. Email ranchitupshow@gmail.com. Call or text 707-RANCH20. Let me know why, and I will start putting our guests together. This could get a tick spirited, and that is perfectly okay. All right, up next, we're talking numbers, cattle sales, and lots more right here on the Ranch It Up Radio Show. At Allied Genetic Resources, it's all about commercial customer success.
We see that charge, we understand that charge, and we're going to use all the tools we can to get there.
To maximize heterosis, purchase your next herd sire from an Allied Genetic Resources partner. Just head to AlliedGeneticResources.com. Cryptosporidium coccidiosis scours. Do I have your attention now? Don't let scours affect you this calving season by feeding Pharmatan from Imagine Ingredients. But you got to get it into your cows now. I've been saying it a lot. Head to PharmatanUSA.com. Why not give Gelbvie and Balancer Bulls a try this year? Raise replacement females with added fertility, increased longevity, and greater productivity. Get increased performance, improve feed efficiency, and increase the carcass merit. Maximize crossbreeding with Gelbvie and Balancer. Want to add just a little bit of spice to your event, your customer appreciation supper, your banquet, your meeting?
Oh, yeah.
Well, bring in us. Beck and I, your keynote speakers, hosts, MCs, a host couple. We'll make them laugh, even cry tears of joy. Call us today. The 2024 world-famous Mile City Bucking Horse Sales starts with horse racing. 6 days with Parimutuel wagering May 4th and 5th on Derby days, coinciding with the Kentucky Derby that'll be shown live in Miles City, Montana. Mother's Day is extra special with moms free to the races and more races added May 17th through the 19th. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive. For a full schedule and tickets, head online at buckinghorsesale.com. Welcome back, everyone, to the Ranch It Up Radio Show. It's that time in the program. We check in with Kirk Donsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated, recapping the markets last week, find out what's going on, maybe give us a little hint in the weeks or maybe even the months to come. So, Kirk, what's going on?
Well, obviously, Ticker, the big news was the bird flu news. This last week, it came out bird flu was in milk, and then it was closely followed by an announcement that pasteurization is working to kill the bird flu in milk, so milk is safe. And then also big USDA news, the USDA announced that there will be some mandatory testing on dairy cattle transferring between some of the states. As far as the market goes, as of Friday, April 26th, May feeders closed the week at 248 and a quarter. That's up 622 and a half on the week, with the CME feeder index up 416 at 245.53. That left the basis at a negative $3.17 versus May futures. June live cattle closed the week at 178.62 and a half. That's up 292 and a half on the week, with cash trading early in the South at 182, and then late on in the week on Friday at 185 to 186 in the North. Combined, that left the five area weighted average up $1.06 at 184, and the basis versus April futures at a negative 67.5 cents. Now, it is very unusual to have a negative basis this deep into delivery, but at only 67.5 cents, there probably won't be a lot of deliveries due to the cost of delivery. Weekly slaughter came in at 613,000 head. That's down 7,000 head versus last week, and 14,000 head lower than the same week last year. Choice boxes still not seeing their seasonal uptick that we want them to see. Closed the week at $297.17. That's up $1.47. We really need to see that number go back above $3. To wrap this up, May corn closed the week at $4.40. That's up 6.5 cents on the week. Corn did break its down trend line that runs all the way back to July of last year, but continues to consolidate in a sideways pattern.
Are cover crops for you? Hey, hey, I'm Shay, and I'm the host of the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast. And in this episode, Steve Swaffer shares how cover crops can be properly integrated into grazing plans in a variety of geographical regions. Here's a taste of the conversation.
So as we move, you know, into the arid and semi-arid parts of the country, it's a lot more difficult decision to invest in the seed for a cover crop. You may look at scaling back the number of species to save a little bit on those seed costs. The value of the cover doesn't change across the country. Keeping that soil covered, keeping something growing in the soil doesn't change where you are across the country. How you get there to get the soil covered and the tools that you use are clearly different from one part of the country to another.
Listen to the full story by searching for Casual Cattle Conversations on your favorite podcast player. Happy ranching, folks.
Y'all want some horse racing? We got it in Miles City, Montana this weekend. Robert Tuke, the racing meet director and member of the Board of Governors for the world-famous Miles City Buck and Horse Sale, joins us now with a quick update on Derby Days. That's kicking off this weekend. Hey, Robert, thanks for coming back on the program with us. You can watch the races live in Miles City, Montana this weekend, and you can watch the Kentucky Derby at the same time.
We'll have a live simulcast from Churchill, and then we'll have our live horse racing Saturday and Sunday also.
And people can make some wagers if they want to.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. We have a pretty good card this weekend. Our futurity trials will take place on Saturday, and we have 44 some head entered. We might have a couple late entries, it sounds like, too. So a lot of trial races on Saturday, and then we'll have some thoroughbred races, too. And then we'll have the Derby trials for our Buck and Horse Quarter Horse Derby. We'll have the trials for that on Sunday. Mother's Day will just be our Mother's Day feature. We'll have Fillies and Maiden Special on Mother's Day. That's kind of grown into a pretty big race for us, and we got some pretty good numbers to watch the girls run that day. So it should be pretty fun. We've had a great crowd the last two Mother's Day. I'm expecting us to have another one. It looks like the weather's going to be pretty good Mother's Day. So
one of the things I find interesting about horse racing, everybody thinks this, they're going to, oh, go watch horse racing. I don't want to bet anything, but the parimutuel wagering is available, and it inadvertently, doesn't this happen, Robert, all the time, that by golly, before you know it, you're looking at the sheets, you're starting to analyze them, and you're going to walk down to the counter and place a bet, aren't you?
Yeah, and actually even better is we have the technology here in Miles City now. You can just bet it on your phone if you want. You don't even have to go to the window anymore.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, we have a deal called FastBet Mobile through United Tote. And you just have to set an account up with us that morning or whatever, whenever you show up. And it's pretty slick. You know, it's actually kind of funny watching some of the old guys that aren't very tech savvy, but they all got a smartphone now, and they're all betting on their smartphones now. Right. Don't even have to go to the window.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. I mean, that's kind of the way of the future. So we might as well have it here. So we have some really, really, really good futurity horses showing up. Don't have the exact numbers finalized yet, but it looks like our futurity purse for the quarter horses is going to be right north of 60,000 this year. So that's pretty cool for us. Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. So, and the Derby is right behind it, right at 50,000. So pretty big races here in Miles City.
The world-famous Miles City Buck and Horse Sale kicks off this weekend with Derby Days horse racing and then continues the racing tradition through Mother's Day weekend. Then the main event starting Thursday the 16th with a kickoff concert featuring Josh Turner with special guest Chancey Williams, and then moving into the weekend with all the bucking horse action one could need and want. All of the information is available at ranchchannel.com and buckinghorsesale.com. Head there to purchase your tickets. Beck and I will be there, so be sure to stop by the booth and say howdy do.
I tip my hat to you from one legend to another.
And before we say fare thee well, we want to give a big tip of the hat to all the junior and high school rodeo athletes competing this weekend. Stay safe and good luck as we move closer to each state finals. And now that is going to wrap it up for today. A big thanks from our crew to yours, starting off with Tracy Hawk and Robert Tuke with the world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, P.J. Budler for sharing your thoughts on our beef cattle, Mark Vanzi with LivestockMarket.com and AuctionTime.com, Shea Keister-Wanner with Casual Cattle Conversations, Kirk Donsbach with StoneX Financial Incorporated, and the boss lady, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, who isn't even with me today. A big thanks goes out to our partners, RanchChannel.com, the world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, the American Gelvie Association, Imogene Ingredients and Pharmatan, Westway Feed Products, Medora Boot and Western Wear, Allied Genetic Resources and Allied Feeding Partners, LivestockMarket.com and EquineMarket.com and AuctionTime.com, RFD TV, Wrangler, and this fine radio station. And crew, so glad y'all came with us one more time as we ranch it up. Be sure to follow along and like us on Facebook at Ranch It Up Show. Our email, ranchitupshow@gmail.com. Call and text us 24/7 at 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. Spread the good word and join us again next week where it's always Tigger and Beck approved. Stay ranchy and ranch it up.